Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Truly, this is the day that the Lord, he has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I tell you, I thank God for Jesus on this evening and thank Jesus for his precious blood. I'm telling you, without God, I can do nothing. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't feel quite like I do, but I know that without God, I can do nothing. For the scripture declares that in him we live, we move, and we have our being. So what part of that you don't understand? And it's telling you that without God, you can do nothing. You can't die without him. Oh, I've got today. You can't live without him. So you just, would you say you're stuck? No, you better be grateful. Be mindful that who he is. He is the one, the creator. Everything that's here, God created. Everything is already on the earth that needed to be created. God already did that. I know the scientists, I love them. I really do love the scientists. But you know what? I don't know of a scientist yet that have made dirt. It's the same dirt everywhere. And they dig and they dig and they dig. Some dirt is red. Some is brown. Some is a light brown. But I'm telling you, God made dirt. I don't know of them being able to make water. God made the water. I don't know of them being able to make blood, which is so important for our bodies. I don't even know of a man anywhere that can make bone and muscle. They sell you a drink that says it helps to strengthen your muscles and tell you to drink a lot of milk. It's good for your bones and all of that. But they cannot create any of that. But our God is an awesome God. He created everything. Oh, my God. I'm so glad about Jesus on this evening. I'm not going to prolong the program because I've got a lot of time to talk. But my soloist is on the line. She is locked and loaded. Mothers do not. You know, Paul, and I'm going to let Mother come on and sing her song the way she wants to sing it and how many she wants to sing. But, you know, in the Bible there, Paul was saying, what will separate you? Who can separate you from the love of God? Oh, my God. And I was just listening to Mother testify to me about a death in her family. She said, but you know what? I'm not going to let that stop me from going on the program tonight. See, that's what God loves. When you're sold out, when you mean what you're doing, he honors that. That turns him on. He loved to see his children say, you know what, it's not about me, but it's about God. I am on a mission. The song says I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Mama's on the battlefield. Come death, it doesn't matter. She says, I'm committed. I'm sold out. And she doesn't get a salary. Oh, bless his name. She learned how to lean and depend on Jesus. And she thanked God that Jesus do as much for her as he does. Because he's already done for her what he said he's going to do. I'd like to introduce our speaker of the hour, our solo speaker of the hour. Mother, you heard God say the speaker of the hour, so I have to get you on one night to preach. Oh, bless his name. Mother, I am turning this phone loose, and I'm getting out of your way. You come as the way God leads you. Our precious mother, you are Mother Jenny. Oh, bless his name.
Good afternoon to Pastor Patricia, and good afternoon to Dr. Scott. First of all, let me give honor to God, who is the head of my life. And I thank God for everything that he's done for me. And like I was telling Pastor Patricia, matter of fact, a couple of times a day, because I know what was going on since Monday. I lost my nephew. He was found in a car. He died, must be, that Sunday night going into Monday morning, and my cousin found him. And by the time 911 got there and the fire department and police, they pronounced him dead right there. He was like 20-something years old. But anyway, like I told Pastor Patricia, I was going to call Jackie to let Pastor Patricia know what was going on and the way I was feeling. And it just seemed like a vision came to me and said, no, go ahead and sing the song. And the song came to me just like that, where you want me to sing. So tonight, this song is for everybody on this virtual line, everybody that's listening, Pastor Patricia and Dr. Scott. This song is for the Lennon family, because truly we know there's a God who knows it all. There's a God who knows it all. He rules all the land, all the powers in his hand. There's a God who knows it all. Sometimes our burden gets heavy, and it seems like it's more than we can bear. But just go down on your knees and talk to Jesus, 'cause I know he will answer prayer. 'Cause there's a God who knows it all. There's a God who knows it all. He rules all the land, all powers in his hand. There's a God. I said, there's a God. There's a God who knows it all. Sometimes your burden gets heavy, and it seems like it's more than you can bear. But just go down on your knees and talk to Jesus. And I know, yes, I know, he will answer prayer. There's a God who knows it all. There's a God who knows it all. He rules all the land, all powers in his hand. There's a God who knows it all. And this song, I'm going to sing a piece, is for Pastor Patricia. Can't go without I sing this song for her, and especially Dr. Gregory Scott. We pray to God that soon, 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 he will get much much better. Want him to know that God is in control. The Lord have done so much for me, and he's opened doors I could not see. But I'm going to keep on trust him, because his word is true. And you know that he already done. He's already done. Said he will do. The Lord have done so much for you. And you, and you, and you. He have opened doors.
Oh, yes, he has.
You could not see. You better keep on trust him.
Come on now.
Because his word is true.
Oh, yes, it is.
And you know that he's already done.
Yes.
Already done. Yes, he already done.
Yes.
He's already done.
Yes, he has.
He's already done.
Already done.
He's already done what he said he gonna do.
Amen.
Pastor Patricia, he already done.
Already done.
He's already done.
Yes.
He's already done.
No, yeah.
He's already done what he said he will do.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Dr. God, he's already done. 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 He's already done.
Yes.
Just what he said he will do.
Amen. Amen. The Lord has already done. Yes, the Lord has done so much for me. I know somebody might say, well, didn't she just sing that last week and the week before? Well, maybe you need to hear it so you can get it in your spirit and stop worrying and wondering. Lord, 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 yes, he's already done what he said he's going to do. I tell you, I thank God for Jesus, and I thank God for Mother Janie, because she truly is faithful, and we are praying for her husband and the other bereaved members that, you know, death is not easy. And then when you see a young person die that way, it just troubles your spirit, because we need to be teaching more about Jesus. We need to be inviting them into the house of God. We need to be visiting with them. There are some people that have prison ministries. God didn't call me for that. There are some people that have street ministries. God didn't call me for that, although I have a grocery store ministry. I have a Walmart ministry. Let me put all that out there. I have a Target ministry. I got a hospital ministry. What I'm trying to point, I'm trying to make, wherever I am and someone is there, I can tell them about Jesus. I don't need a pulpit. All pretty glass and all that pretty stuff. I don't need that to tell somebody about Jesus. The songwriter said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save your soul. That's where I am on Wednesday night. I'm just a nobody. I'm just a willing vessel being used by the Lord. I have been called and chosen to be used by God. But I said, yes, Lord. So that meant I surrendered my all to him. It's not about what I want. It's about what the Lord wants of me. He had need of me, just like Jesus when he was going through there, we're getting close to Easter.
And as he was going through the city there, he told the disciples that, look, you go there and you will find a colt, a young colt that has never been sat upon. Tell the man that I have need of it. And he'll let it go. And Jesus rode on that colt going through the city there, and they were hollering Hosanna and putting the palms down. Jesus had need. He had need of an animal to get him from point A to point B. I don't know why he wanted to ride, because he walked a lot. But maybe he rode so that you and I would see the necessity that he has of using something that is alive. Because that donkey, that colt, that ass, the Bible says ass, that ass was living. His heart was beating. Kidneys was functioning. Eyesight was good. His back was strong, because Jesus sat upon him and he rode through the city. And that's the same Jesus that when he comes knocking at your door, he says, behold, you'll find that there in Revelation, I believe, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man would open the door to your heart, come in and I'll sup with you. I'll come in. In other words, I'll come and I'll sit with you. I'll spend time with you, because you're just that important to me, because I need you. Well, somebody will say, well, he don't need anyone. He's God all by himself. He can do what he wants to do. He can make the rivers dry up. He can make the wind stop. What do he need with you? Oh, yes, he does. But he wants us to come to him freely. He doesn't want to have to force himself. He's too much of a gentleman for that. But he knocks upon the door of your heart. He says, if any man, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man, you see what I'm talking about? It doesn't matter, Mother Janie, whether you was on drugs or whether you're on alcohol, whether you're on cigarettes. You know, my pastor told me once when I asked for prayer for a family member that was on drugs, I think it was heroin or whatever that drug is, and cocaine and that sort of thing. And when I asked the preacher to pray for the family member, and he prayed for the family member, and then he looked at me and he said, you're on drugs too. I said, I don't do any drugs. Never done any drugs. He said, you smoke cigarettes. I said, yes, I do. He said, cigarettes is nothing but a drug. I said, oh, God. I didn't smoke anymore after that. I didn't want to be labeled as a drug user. Cigarettes, tobacco, is a drug. It's addictive. It's habit forming. It will have you walking the floor at night. Now, that's a bad dude there. I remember when I was smoking, and I don't know, you know, let me tell you something, Mother Janie, I don't know why I'm going this way, but I go by the leading of the Lord. I'd like to have a format or a form that I have to follow the script, you know, like they do in church. Okay, now we're going to pray. Now we're going to read the scripture. Now we're going to have the announcement. Now we're going to, no. Important that the word get out in this hour. I don't need all that other stuff. I need to get the word in somebody's ear. David said, the word that I have hid in my heart that I might not. He wasn't sure. He said, I might not sin against thee, O God. But I'm telling you, he told me I was a drug addict. Well, he didn't say addict, but he said you're on drugs. But I can recall when I smoke. Now, 2 o'clock in the morning, I have to go to the bathroom, wake up out of a sound sleep. And your bladder wake you up, and you go to the bathroom. Before I could go into the bathroom, I would grab my cigarette that sat on my nightstand, and I would one out, grab the lighter, and light the cigarette to go into the bathroom. Now, that's what you call hope. Couldn't go to the bathroom without lighting a cigarette. Come on now. You woke up to empty your bladder, but you can't go and empty your bladder because that cigarette is sitting there telling you, you need to pick me up. It's got control of you, but you don't have control of it, and yet the cigarette is not real. Doesn't have a heart. It doesn't have blood. Doesn't have liver, kidneys, none of that. Don't even have eyes. No, don't even have legs to walk. You pick it up. Don't even have hands. You pick it up. You purchase it. You bring it home. You beat it out the pack. You put it in your mouth. You light it. It does nothing. But it's got you. It's got you where the command of the nicotine causes you to feel as though I got to have it, do without it. You know, drugs is tricky. Food is tricky, too. Because I was dating a young man. I was engaged to marry him. And he used to be a drug addict back in the day when the heroin was out, but when I was engaged to marry him, for 6 years we were engaged, and he was telling me that what caused him to get off of the hard drug was that this man came looking for him one night, purchased some drugs. Because he know he didn't sell them, but he know he had a bag or two on him. So he wanted to get high. He was desperate. So he came seeking the man out. So my fiance said to him, said, wait a minute, said, let me see what I got. You wait out here. And he went into the house, and he came back with a little something that was white, that resemble the powder, the drug. And then they had the, I guess, aluminum soda caps. And because these today, I think, is plastic. And they put the little bit of drug in that soda cap. Water. And then they take some fire, like a couple of matches or something, and they would hold that fire, Mother Janie, under that cap to cook that drug a little so it's finer, I guess, going through that needle. So he said he prepared that for the man, and he was sitting there scratching and you know, anxious, anxiety, couldn't wait. He just wanted that fix. And my fiance said he got the hypodermic needle and he pulled back the syringe and pulled up the water solution. And he hit the man. I don't know if some of you know what that means, but hit the man, in other words, he shot the man up with the needle in his vein. He put the little rubber on the arm there so that it wouldn't get an air bubble or blood clot or whatever and hit the man's heart and kill him. And he shot that man up with that fake solution. And he said in about 10 minutes, that man calmed down. He wasn't scratching. He wasn't shaking. He was not doing any of those things. And he sat there just as calm and said, oh, man, that's some good stuff. Wow. Oh, I feel good. He said when he realized what had taken place, he called his mother and told his mother to come get him and lock him in the basement because he needed to get off drugs. And he got himself off of drugs because he realized that it's a mind thing, because all he gave the man was warm water in the vein, and the man was higher than high. See, that stuff controls you. But when you make up your mind and you can control yourself, you will let that demon of drugs go. When the pastor said to me, Sis Pat, you are getting prayer for a family member, but I need to pray for you because you're on drugs too. That thing was like a stake in my heart. I said, wow, you mean I'm on drugs too? That bothered me, prayed for me. And I came off the cigarettes. It was in this same month here, the month of March, that I yielded my life, my members, the body said. The Bible said we have members. Your eye is a member. Your nose is a member. Your hands are members. I yield my members to God and say, God, take it away from me. I don't want this little pack of cigarettes to control me. I was in the hospital, and the man was dying, and I played with the cigarette in my hand. It was controlling me. But I knew enough about Jesus to know to pray for the family because they were losing a loved one. Prayed. God heard me because my heart was sincere. Wasn't pure, but it was sincere. And God raised the man up. His heart went back to beating. But the cigarette had me bound, that I could not. You know what, Mother Janie, when I look at the people with these cell phones, I got to say the cell phone is a drug, because you cannot walk out of the house without your phone. Where is my phone? Where, y'all see my phone? Where's my phone? You will tear your pocketbook up looking for your phone. You'll tear your car up. You're all under the seat. looking for your phone. The phone controls you. And yet, you don't have a relationship strong enough with God to say, for God I live and for God I die. I'll let nothing separate me from God's love. Mother Janie said tonight, yes, there is a tragedy in my family. There's another death in my family. But God, I am committed to going on the air at 7 p.m. with Pastor Patricia. God looks for that commitment. He's committed to us. He gives you life and more abundantly. He gives you health. He gives you strength. You think your health is bad? Take a walk through the hospital. I was at the nursing home today, and I looked at them in the wheelchairs, some laying in bed. I was at the hospital today visiting my husband, some sitting on a ventilator, some with a trach in his throat. You think your situation is bad? Take a look at yourself, and you'll look at others differently. When God allows me to talk about my cigarette addiction, it's for someone to stop smoking. Every time I've been in a church setting and I have to bring, God bring forth that cigarette story of mine, testimony, someone sitting in the audience, maybe not one, sometimes it's five or six people that have been trying to couldn't. But when I give my testimony, deliverance comes. And they quit. I was in Eastern Maryland. I had to preach over at the Holiday Inn. The service was. And when I got up to preach, God said, cigarettes. The scent of cigarettes came across my nostril. And I said, oh, Lord, got to talk about cigarettes. I smell them. And I started talking about cigarettes, my testimony, how God delivered me off of cigarettes with no withdrawal, and how he did it for me. And I said, who are you in here? And about three people came. I said, but it's someone else that need that demon cursed and broken over their life. And the woman stood up. She said, Pastor, so I was evangelist then. She said, evangelist, it's not me, but my sister's sitting up there. She had been trying for years to quit smoking. Can't, no matter what she do, she's had the gum, she's had this, she's had that. And for some reason, she cannot quit smoking. And I said to the lady, is she talking about you? She said, yes. I said, now, I want to ask you a question. Do you really want to stop smoking? Because I'm not wasting a prayer. She said, yes. I said, well, come here. And I got a bottle of water, and I blessed that water. And I said, drink. And she drank the water. I said, stop. I said, drink again. She drank again. I said, stop. And she drank again. And I said, stop. I said, do you still want to quit smoking? She said, yes. I tried everything. The doctors, everything. I said, well, it's done. Because you want to do it. A month later, I received a telephone call from the pastor who invited me to come and preach for the women's conference. She said, hey, sis. I said, hey, girl. She said, sis, you know that lady in the audience that you prayed for about the cigarette that the sister said she couldn't quit? I said, yeah. She she said she haven't smoked a cigarette since she left from the conference. It was over a month, going into 2 months. She's never been able to do that before. She says that she's cigarette, she's smoke-free. I don't know who you are on this program tonight, and maybe you're not on the program tonight. Maybe you will pull up this sermon in the archives, but it will bless you if it's you any time you hear this, whenever you hear this. I have not smoked a cigarette since 1988. God delivered me from cigarettes on a Sunday. I believe it was the 18th of March. I know definitely it was the third Sunday in March. And I had a carton of cigarettes and a pack. My husband was afraid because he really didn't know the wonders of God. When God do something, it's done, and it's done right, and it's finished. We had to go to New York, to Yonkers. My husband was an over-the-road trucker. And we had to take a load to New York. And I said, I'm going with you. And he said, okay, because I didn't want to stay home by myself. And I went with him, but this is what the devil did. Watch it now. He never stops. He knew God had delivered me. But you see, my husband didn't get delivered. I did. So what enemy said to my husband, she's going to get down the road and she's going to want them cigarettes and you got no cigarettes in that truck for her. You're going to have to find some store or something open and find, get her some cigarettes. Here, you put them cigarettes and the lighter in your pocket. Don't let her see them, though. So my husband, not knowing that when God does something, it's done, it's finished, he snuck them cigarettes in his pocket, whatever. Went on up road, he said, how you doing? I said, I'm good. I'm feeling all right. He said, okay. See, he knew he was ready. He was ready. The enemy was going to use him to give me the cigarette. But I was fine because I was telling God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And when we got to the place in Yonkers, my husband backed in and he was getting unloaded. And while I was laying in the truck, I was in the bunk. And I said, Lord, I don't recall. It's been years since I waking up. And I don't have a cigarette. I said, God, what am I going to do? And the Lord spoke back to me. See, you got to talk to God. God will talk to you. Many of you he doesn't talk to because you won't talk to him. You want the pastor to talk. You want the missionary to talk. You want the deacon to talk. You want other preachers to talk. But you won't talk to God about your problem yourself. He won't hear from you. But anyhow, I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And the Lord said to me, this is why I gave the lady the water. Take and tell Sherman to get you some fried chicken. Now, y'all go ahead and laugh because God has a sense of humor. So tell Sherman to get you some fried chicken and a banana. And drink ice cold water. Well, my husband always carried a water jug filled with crushed ice because he liked to drink. And, of course, we had no fried chicken in the truck and no bananas. So when he came back from being unloaded and he came to the cab, he opened the door to put his gloves in, and I said, Sherman, he said, hey, you awake, huh? You all right? I said, no. He said, what's the matter? Now, he hit in his pocket because he's ready now. The enemy has told him she's going to need those cigarettes. But that's not what God said. And he said, what you need? I said, the Lord said for you to get me some fried chicken and a banana. We was at Grand Union. I said, and he said for me to drink ice cold water with a straw. So we had the water in the truck, but no straws. He said, all right, I'll go see if I can get it. We were at Grand Union, the grocery store. He walked into the store, and he said, I don't know if those people got fried chicken or not in this store. The woman was just taking the chicken up out of the grease. Let me tell y'all something. God knows what he's talking about. And you know what? If they didn't have any fried chicken in that store, God would have created a fry later. And the chicken, and somebody would have been frying it because he commanded to be so. And he said, that y'all selling that chicken? I said, sure is. We just get ready to dump it out. He said, can I have 5 pieces of that chicken, the leg and the thigh, for my wife? She in the truck. He said, sure can. We'll put an extra piece in, driver. And he went and got the banana. He came back with the chicken, bananas, and the straws. And when that cold water hit my tongue, because if you know medically, your taste bud is in your tongue, right in the center of your tongue, not in the back, in the beginning, in the center. Once that cold water hit my tongue where the nicotine would have gone, God flushed it. And I ate my chicken, a couple of pieces, and had a banana. And God told me every time the enemy tried to make you go to your cigarette, drink your water. He didn't tell me keep eating the chicken. He said, drink your water. Eat a banana. Because I was drinking so much water, I was flushing the potassium out of my body, but the banana was put in back. Don't tell me God don't know what he's doing. That was in 1988. God has given me that testimony to help people come off that demon of cigarettes. Young lady in New York strung out on drugs. She was so high. One night, you all need to pray for your family members. You know they're on drugs. The young lady was so high until she was scratching the walls trying to climb the wall. That's how high she was, what they say in that book. There was, she was tripping. She was digging her fingernails into the wall, trying to climb the wall. I guess it must have told she was a cat or something. And the young man brought her home. When she got home, her son said, Mom, what's wrong with you? And she said, I'll be all right. And she said, call Miss Benjamin. I was talking about my mother. Call Miss Benjamin and ask her for Patty's number. I need to talk to Patty. And she told her son, don't let anybody in the house today. And if they come, don't let them in. And please don't let anybody come in my room. So they called my mother. And my mother gave them my number in Delaware here where I was living. And when I got on the phone with her, she said, I need you. She said, I got to get off these drugs. I'm losing my mind. I got to get off these drugs. I'm doing dumb stuff. And I don't want to hurt myself, and I don't want to hurt my kids. Help me, Patty, help me. Please. I said, girl, it will take me 6 hours to get home. She said, I'll stay locked up in my room until you come. I drove from New York, from Delaware to New York. I walked in her house, and her son said, Mommy's waiting for you. She hasn't come out of her room. And I walked in her room, and God said, call her by her name. And I called her by her name. I said, are you ready? She said, yes. I got to do this. I got to do this. I said, okay. And I said to her son, I said, baby, y'all got any bottled water here? He said, no. I said, you can get me a glass of water. And he gave me the glass of water. This may not be the message you want to hear, and it may not be for you, but it should be because all of us got somebody we know on drugs, whether it's a cigarette or crack cocaine, or whether it's reefer, but it's a drug, or whether it's a prescription drug. And I got that water, and I blessed that water in the name of Jesus. And I gave her the drink, and I gave her Sunday instructions. I said, don't let anybody in here after I leave. I said, she'll be all right in the morning. I said, and every time she needs to get high, put water in this glass. Don't give her another glass. Use the same glass because God's going to work a miracle. That young lady came off of drugs, cleaned up her life, got her a job, and finish raising her 2-year-old child. Don't tell me, because he will. But you got to open your mouth and let God arise. And let God's enemies be scattered. Cigarettes is an enemy of God. Anything that harms your body is an enemy of God. Alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, cigar pipes, any of that stuff. Yes, food too. I want to leave food out because the enemy will use food to kill us. You know, to have it seasoned. Got to have all that salt, pepper, hot sauce, all of that, we got to have it. And we don't know the damage it's doing until it's done the damage, and then it's too late. Me, sugar, Lord, give me something sweet. I'm a diabetic. I take insulin. Why? Because sweet, I guess I haven't been sincere enough about it. Because he's the same God that broke me from the cigarette. He can get the sugar off me as well. But I was raised up, my grandmother had something sweet in her house every day. When that went out, she made something else sweet. Never walk in grandma's house that you couldn't get something homemade. Cake, pies, it didn't matter. Grandma cooked all the time. But I just want to let you know tonight that we need to pray for our loved ones, our relatives. Talk to God about it. He'll fix it. He'll fix it. Let Jesus fix it for you, for he knows just what to do whenever you pray. Let him have his way. Let Jesus fix it for you. 1988. The cigarettes down with a half a pack and a whole carton. And I wouldn't throw them away. My husband told me later what he had done. I said, you rascal. But one day I was in my closet and I said, what is this in this bag? It was just cigarettes. And I said, well, I'm going to bring them home to my friend Jeffrey. He smoked the same kind I smoke. So I was coming to New York, and I said, I'm going to give them to Jeffrey. And God said to me, well, if I delivered you from them, why do you want to give them to him? Take them and throw them in the dumpster. And I threw the cigarettes in the dumpster. The reason why I didn't throw them away when God delivered me, because I wanted to show the devil that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. See, you can't smoke a cigarette if you don't have any. When you got a whole carton and you tell the devil, I don't need them anymore, God has set me free. God has smiled on me with deliverance. He's been good to me. God has delivered me. And yes, we need to pray. We need our preachers on the corner. If God gave you a street ministry, then you will be successful in the street. If God gave you a prison ministry, then visit the prison and help them that's sitting there. They have souls too. And some of them in prison is chosen, but they chose not to do it God's way. So they're paying a price for choosing to do it their way. But God's going to bring them out, and they're going to testify the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. Their very soul will cry out, hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. Oh, bless his name. Come on and clap your hands, somebody. Tell the Lord thank you. Oh, I tell you, the Lord has done so much for me. And he's done so much for you. I just want to thank him forever and ever and all that he's done for me. I still have this sermon from the sixth chapter of Matthew that I'm trying to get to, but I can't get to it at the appointed time God will allow it. So he just told me to go to Psalms. So I'm trying to get out of Matthew and go to Psalms and read that to you. Oh, hallelujah, anyhow. Oh, bless his name. Oh, bless his name. Come on and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let's go to Psalms. Excuse me. Psalms 24, verse 1. For it reads like this: the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord? That's a question being asked. Who will allow God to deliver you? Who will allow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob to set you free? Who will allow God to be first in their life? Hezekiah Walker wrote a song, I'm sold out. My mind is made up. Oh, son of man, where are you going to run to? How long are you going to be straddling the fence? Ah, Sunday you belong to God. Monday you belong to the devil. Tuesday you belong to the devil. Wednesday you belong to the devil. Thursday you're doing stuff for the devil. Friday you're doing stuff for the devil. Saturday side of the fence. God said, you're not hot. And you're not cold. He said, you're lukewarm. You're in between hot and cold. You got a mix there. You're either going to be hot for Jesus or cold. Or either you're going to be hot for the devil and cold to Jesus. But he said, you, I will spew you out of my mouth. I can't handle you. You're not sincere. In other words, you want to have your cake and eat it too. But you've got to be sold out all the way. I'll take Jesus for mine. You can have this whole wide world. Just give me Jesus. I'll take Jesus for mine. Ah, he delivered me. Hey, he brought me out. He brought me out from the miry clay. I was sinking deep in sin, far from that peaceful shore. I was very deeply stained with sin. I was sinking to rise no more. But the Master, I'm talking about Jesus, he's a friend of mine. The Master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. But from the waters of death, he lifted me. Oh, God, now safe in my. God's love lifted me. God's love brought me off of those Salem 100s. Hallelujah, Jesus. He saved and he sanctified me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Have I been saved all the time since I've been saved? No. I fell along the wayside, but I didn't pick them cigarettes up. God delivered me from them. But I thought about the scripture said, a just man will fall seven times, and then seven times he will get back up. I said, God, it's me. I felt like I was the woman on the commercial when the woman said, I've fallen and I can't get up. But I laid there in sin, and I didn't say like the woman. I said, Lord, I've fallen. It's me again, God. But because you are God, you told me if you had to reach way down, you would pick me back up. And I'm crying, Jesus, hear my humble cry. God, it's me. I've fallen again. Pick me up, God, and set me right. I didn't say like the woman, I've fallen and I can't get up. I said, God, I've fallen, but with your help, back up again. Because I say this, it's just a sinner. Oh, my God, who fell down. But he get back up again. We're going to fall down. But we don't have to stay down. Hallelujah. You can get back up. If you're falling tonight to the devil, to the sin, you can get back up. All you have to do is just say, Jesus, it's me. I need you to forgive me. Jesus, I need your help. And he will. In no wise turn you away. Hey, God, I feel good. This has been a trying week for me, but I feel good down in my sanctified soul. Last week I told you, if loving you is wrong, I received a couple of phone calls. Said, if loving you is wrong, said it was all right with me. Pastor Sandra Simmons from Hollywood, South Carolina, she called me. She said, Pastor Patty Duke, I tell you, loving me is wrong. Loving, she was talking about Jesus. Jesus, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. She said, I was on your program Wednesday night, but I couldn't say nothing because you had said, because you wasn't on the computer, I couldn't push the one and my mic be open. She said, but I want you to know if loving you is wrong. She said, I enjoyed that. See, like I told you, you don't know who's listening. You can't be playing around with this. Let me just read just a little more. Who shall stand in his holy place? That's a question. Are you able to stand in the holy place? I don't think so. You know why? Because verse number 4 says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, but he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift, come on now, talk to me. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift them up, the everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is my God? Do you have to ask that question? You've been going to church for years, and you don't know who the King of glory is. You need deliverance. You need a bottle of water. You need to let me bless that water, because deliverance need to come to you. You can go to hell from the church, but I don't want to go to hell from the church. Keith Wonderboy Johnson sing right. I just want to be right. Right. I just want to be right. You got to be right. To the 24 Psalms let you know. He who have clean hands and a pure heart, oh, bless his name. Thank you, Jesus. I was singing on the choir, serving on the board, fooling myself. I knew I had to be born again. And when I put them cigarettes in God's hand, God cleaned me up. He saved me. He sanctified me. And he filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, if anybody asks you, what's the matter with me? Tell them I'm saved and I'm sanctified. I'm Holy Ghost sealed and I'm fire baptized. I got Jesus on my side and I'm running high emotion. I'm running for my life. Hey. I might live with the devil on this earth, but I ain't gonna die without Jesus. I don't want to hear him say, depart, but Lord, I went to church every Sunday. I went to Hannah Vesta Missionary Baptist Church every Sunday. Depart from me, for I know you not. I went to Grace and Mercy, Temple of Praise every Sunday. Depart from me, for I know you not. I went to King Chapel, Church of God and Christ. Depart from me, for I know you not. I went to Flames of Fire. Depart from me, for I don't know you. Why? Because you don't have clean hands and a pure heart. You're not lifting up your head to me. Oh, bless his name. And the last verse said, who is this King of glory? Oh, my God. The question is, who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. It's been my pleasure to be with you again this week. I promise I'll try not to go over the appointed time. But I just want to close out. We're not able to get on with our featured song, but my husband is working on it in his mind. I just want to close out with the Williams brother. If you have to go, I understand. You can hang up. But this is dedicated to my sister Jackie and Mother Blondie. Listen to this. Matter of fact, it's for everyone listening.
Yes, sir.
next week. God bless you. God bless you through it all. You made it. Another day journey. God kept you here. Oh, bless his name. Oh, night-night.